Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric Kruger. I'm one half of the Expansive Podcast. And as always, I'm joined by my co-pilot, co-host, co-conspirator, John Sonne. John, how are you, brother?
Wonderful, thank you. How are you? I thought you were going to say coconut. Co-pilot, co-conspirator, coconut. I was like rhyming the next co with you in your mind. I didn't have another co word. I was like, he's going to say coconut. That's not going to make sense. Anyway, great to be with you. What's happening?
Yeah, all good, all good. Celebrating birthdays on this side. At this, our little Mally Collie mix turned one yesterday. So his first birthday in the house, we got him...
Bless him.
Pupcakes, and we got him porty hats, and we got him lots of gifts. And him and Jaeger celebrated his birthday in the morning. Which was it's been the best part of my week.
Yeah, so. Never has this quote been truer. Plants are the new pets, pets are the new children.
Oh, for sure. Oh, hugely,
I'm surprised you didn't have his dog friends from the dog play area come to the house for the birthday party and each bring presents.
So we had a training session with him later in the day, and it was we go to some Zala, which is an estate quite close to us. And he goes every Monday, he does these like training sessions. So we thought about taking pupcakes and stuff there. But Dan was like, no, she baked them and she was like, they're not good enough. So she doesn't want to take them. So she wasn't happy with the quality.
For dogs.
Standards are high, bro. Standards are high, bro.
Standards are high, like, man. Even higher than for human children.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
I mean, there could be nothing worse than a dog spitting out one of your muffins. I mean, if a dog spitting out one of your muffins is like, that's failure, like extraordinaire.
What's happening on your side?
Yeah, all good. Thank you. In Cape Town on my way to Dubai, then to Joburg, back to Cape Town, to Durban. So it seems like everything's on this side of the world right now with that one pop into Dubai, which is quite nice. I'm looking forward to it. Looks like Dubai is drowning today. There seems to be an unbelievable storm happening there, but it looks like it's all sunny by the time I arrive. So I'm happy.
She's dodging storms. Hey, everywhere you go, there are just storms.
Yes.
It's like Cape Town storms, Dubai storms, Durban storms.
There are storms. Like it seems everywhere. Like globally. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there seems to be storms everywhere. It seems like the eclipse brought about a lot of like movement around the world, you know, within myself as well, inside my head and heart. I've also had quite a lot of movement. So I think this these storms on the outside are very reflective of what was going on inside my head. So it's been quite a stormy time, but all good. You know what I've been doing a lot of? Naming your personality traits and having conversations with them. And for the last few nights, what I've done is, because I think when these storms happen inside yourself, you access these personalities, and these personalities are kind of angry or sad or frustrated or scared. And I've just started naming them, and I've been talking to them, like kind of like going into a meditative state and having an engaging conversation with them and really just holding them and loving them. And it's been the most soothing thing, actually. You know, I wasn't even planning to talk about it, but it's been so revolutionary in my own head, because after I've spent half an hour hugging this, like I'll give you one, Shivering Sherwin. So Shivering Sherwin, who's changed his name to Sherwin now, was he scared? I don't know what I was scared of. It's just like you, I don't know, sometimes you go through this process where you think things are going to happen, but I don't know what's triggering it. And so I spent a lot of time with Sherwin, you know, and he changed his name to Sherwin. He's not Shivering anymore. And it's really amazing to like, disassociate from that sort of emotional state. Name it, talk to it, love it, heal it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, when I talk about change, often like one of the phrases that I talk about is name it to tame it. And so like that's exactly what you're doing, is you're just like you're giving it a persona. But I'm thinking maybe we should have one of these personalities on the podcast at some point. I remember Patty was one, right?
Sure.
Petty.
Juan wants to come. Juan.
I don't want Juan. I don't think we can handle
it. Let's just bring Juan.
We can't handle
Juan. Juan's here. Juan's already arrived. You don't have a choice. He's already arrived. For the people listening, Juan is the lover inside me. Anyway, he's gone. This is a podcast about business.
All right. Well,
it's not the Tantra podcast. Wrong podcast. Okay.
Listen, so I think the eclipse and the storms are actually a good framing for today's pod, where we are talking about some good news and good things that are happening in the world. And I wanted to frame it just by saying that there's actually research that's been done that shows that when we are consuming negative news all the time, it has a very objective impact on our mental health. And the reason why it does that is because obviously it increases our cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And ultimately, this leads to a wide variety of effects on the human body, like physical effects on the human body. And so when you are engaging in pessimistic, negative news all the time, don't think that it's not taking a toll on you, because it really is. But the flip side of that, and why I think it's very good that we're doing today's episode, is that when you engage with good news, you have the opposite effect. And there was actually a study that they did where they, and this was happening inside of a business, where they had two different sort of groups. And one group would have a meeting where they share some good news just about things that's happening in the world, not even specific to the company, but just in general. And then in the other meeting, they would just get straight into the meeting. And over time, what they found was that the group where they were sharing the good news were 18% more optimistic than the control group. But more than that, they were 32.4% less anxious and 12% more likely to feel grateful for the health that they had, for, you know, being part of the team and things like that. And so I think it's maybe, as a broader kind of implication, something to think about is that we don't always have to just get straight into the meeting. Sometimes it's maybe good to see where we can find and share some optimism and some good things that are happening. And so with that, we wanted to share some good news for today. John, and you have a whole list, so let's kick it off.
I love that framework. And it's so important. You know, negative news chips away at us. It's just a chip. It's like a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. But here's the dichotomy, is you become addicted to those chips. Like, you need to start feeling them because they become familiar in your daily behavior and patterning. So they're actually really dangerous. It's almost like a drug in a way that diminishes yourself, your psyche, increases your anxiousness. And so, you know, when I'm feeling like lukewarm, I kind of put on a Abraham Hicks 15 minutes rampage. They're called rampages. Get them on YouTube. And she just speaks about this incredible ability to uplift your focus. That's all it is. It's just focus. And I immediately feel better, and it took 15 minutes. And obviously meditations do the same thing. It's almost like a reset, where you reset the patterning that you kind of got caught up in. And so we wanted to do a pod on just some good news that's happening around the world. And we never really see this news. And when I started researching this, I mean, I went into the depths of TikTok to get all of these sorted. I mean, it was deep research. So I saw some things on TikTok, that I looked at some things on Insta. I mean, where else am I going to get my news from? It's where everybody is. YouTube, like, where else would I get it from, right? In fact, just some news about YouTube. It's now surpassed Netflix for number of minutes watched per day or per week or something. So the first time YouTube has overtaken all of them. In fact, it's now the biggest. First piece of good news is France is banning fast fashion advertising and adding up to 50% on import duties for fast fashion brands. How's that? You're not allowed to advertise.
So this is Shein.
Well, Shein doesn't really advertise. Yeah. I suppose it does online. But H&M, Zara, and all these other brands aren't allowed to advertise. Like, cigarettes aren't allowed to advertise. They're not allowed to advertise. And 50% import duties to help they say environment, but I actually think they're trying to help their own luxury brands. So
I was going to say, France, you know, they want to be known for for the fancy and the luxurious brands. Yeah. They don't want to be known for the past. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So that's good. I mean, I think what that's going to do is going to help just a move towards being more conscientious about what you're doing, in whichever way. I'm launching a clothing brand, and I haven't gotten ready yet, but the line that starts it is, "Welcome to the house of slow fashion." And I love that term, is because, you know, it's slow, it's thoughtful, it's handmade. There's a new luxury around that sort of stuff. And I think a mix of the two are cool, because you can buy a couple things from fast fashion, but you also get some really good pieces handmade or made for a good cause. But anyway, that's a whole other pod. That's my first piece of good news. I thought it'd be nice to start off with something around the environment. I'm going to carry on moving with the environment because we often hear about deforestation a lot, but there are three places around the world that have done unbelievable things to add like greenery to the world. The first one is Pakistan, which has tripled its mangrove forests and is helping against storms and erosions on the sort of coastal cities of Pakistan. So just building in more roots into the soil with the mangrove forest is helping incredible amounts and helping with water sort of rising as well. And so that, and Africa is building, I don't know if you know this, Green Belt Initiative right across the Sahara. I think that's like 14 countries or something like that have gotten together to make this sort of deal that all of them are building this couple hundred meter wide belt of greenery to start to grow more greenery. And it's now doing better than it's ever done.
Oh, amazing.
And at the same time, the UAE and Saudi Arabia have really picked up on massive projects to bring greenery to the UAE itself and to Saudi. And you can see this already in the UAE. The weather's changing, they're seeding, they're shifting that environment. And people often go, like, how can they be doing that? They're messing with nature. I think if you're adding more greenery, I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think we've spent so much time ruining the earth in many ways. Yeah, exactly. So yes, is it artificial? Yes. Is it trying to uplift greenery and help nature move forward? Then yes, okay. It's like taking vitamins in a way, I guess, you know. So there's a lot of that greenery project that's happening around there. And, you know, truth be told, the geniuses that behind it are the Israelis, right? I mean, they're the ones who were able to take their sort of sand pit and make it some amazing sort of food and exporter of agriculture in many different ways. So the technology's come from there, but it's now spreading around the world.
Look, I think it's also just good when you're living in a city and you are closer to nature at the end of the day as well, you know, because that's one thing I've always appreciated about Joburg is that even though it's, you know, just concrete everywhere, it's also the biggest man-made forest, I think, in Africa. I'm not sure, even the world, maybe.
Something like that. Yeah.
And so, like, there are lots and lots of trees. And I remember everywhere I've ever lived in Joburg, we've always had rows and rows of trees driving in or out. And trees, and that's been amazing. You know, like, at least it gives you that bit of connectedness to the earth.
Nature. Yeah. It's truly amazing. That's what it is.
All right. Okay.
If you're watching this on video, you should have seen Eric's look. He's like, what? You're cracking a joke. Yes. This is not that podcast, John. What are you doing? Okay, I got some more good news around nature. The European Union has – the European Union's amazing. Let's just not kid for a second. Yes, I think they might create some nanny states. But geez, dude, they've changed the way Apple does its app store. They've changed Apple to the USB-C. They're like setting standards, you know. They're not so corporatized as the American government, which really only does things to try and help these lobbyists. So the European Union is not playing games. And so what they've now done is they've enacted a groundbreaking law called ecocide, which criminalizes ecosystem destruction, which is a huge step towards protecting more environments in many ways, because now it's a criminal offense that you can go to jail for. And on top of that, they're forcing all the countries in EU to fix up and clean up and bring back to life 30% of all the nature that's inside their countries. So they're enacting some incredible laws to criminalize ecocide, which I thought was quite a cool name that they created, or maybe it's not they created, there's a name. And also sort of forcing their countries to bring more nature. And you can see in Paris, they've got a multi-billion dollar movement trying to make it the greenest city in Europe, and already have closed down some 50, 60 kilometers of roads within Paris to make them car-free, just pedestrian-friendly. And so we're starting to see cities really start to move towards this very clean energy. A lot of the cities I've been to overseas have only got electrical public transport inside the city centers. So slowly but surely, you know, we're going to start seeing very, very quiet, very clean, very pollution-free cities, which I think is just such an amazing thing to look forward to.
Mm. I remember a long time ago seeing a video about how cities and the amount of light that we have and the amount of noise, how that's heavily affected bugs, like, you know, like insect life.
Right.
And how all of a sudden they think day is night and night is night is daytime. And so it completely confuses them. And so it's like it affected populations of mice and insects and all these kind of things. So it's, you know, I'm just happy, I think, in general that the environment stays front and center and that we keep trying to find ways to not bring it back to life, but like to incorporate it also more into where we live in big cities. So it's not just that you have to venture out and go and find it out there. Like we are taking care of it here where we are as well.
Singapore has got the similar sort of scenario. I think like some high percentage of your building has to have plants on it or have to be. So when you're walking around Singapore, so many of the buildings have got plants inside the architecture of it, on the roofs. So more and more, they're incorporating it into city design and making it a must, you know. So I think it's just so great. And even just look at this conversation. Look how uplifting it is. You're like, yeah, that's great. Like these guys are doing this and people are really busy with this, you know. If I just stay with one more and then we can go to yours. Again, it's about nature. And I mean, a lot of them are about nature because that's really, for me, the most important thing. I don't want good news that shares have gone up. I'm talking about things that really matter, yeah. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services has put $1.3 billion towards wildlife conservation efforts aimed at safeguarding biodiversities while enhancing public access to natural habitats. So when I was reading this article, what they were saying is that they are increasing the number of parks in America, giving more people more access to new parks, as well as upgrading the parks. So really bringing in nature into your everyday living and life and experience. And I remember when I was in Sedona Valley, wow, those national parks are fantastic. Really well looked after, super busy. It was really awesome. You know, they've done such a great job. And I imagine for them just to increase that, it's just really a great thing because America has such amazing nature. It's just really outstanding.
All right. So let me share mine and then we can get back to the rest of yours as well. And it's a bit of a different one. Look, I was researching lots of like sort of, I was looking for business good news where I was hoping I could find things that are the complete opposite of stories like Boeing CEO receiving a big compensation package, even though he's on his way out. I was trying to find things that are like the total opposite to that. I didn't really find anything. But one thing I saw earlier this week, which surprise, surprise, actually related to dogs. It's not maybe good news in the broader sense, but it is good news in the broader sense, which is that there's a new airline that launched called Bark Air. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I have. Go ahead. Yes.
Bark Air. So Bark Air, dude, I have to just, I don't know if you've been to their website, but they say Bark Air is here to deliver a white paw experience. So they, Bark Air, as you can imagine, is all about flights for dogs. And the CEO, like, so where, like, this clip sort of went viral where the CEO was promoting the airline. And what he did is he got into a crate that a dog would typically fly in. And then they loaded the CEO into the cargo hold of a plane. And then they flew with him for 4 hours for him to experience, what does it feel like? And he's like, oh, this feels like crap. Like it feels isolating. Like I feel disoriented from all the noise. I don't know what's happening around me. And so they've launched Bark Air. At the moment, it's actually quite pricey. I think a ticket's about $600. And they're flying between like New York and London. So maybe it's like, you know, in the bigger scheme of things, it's not that expensive. But so when you arrive there with your dog, they have a concierge that welcomes all the pups, that socializes them with the gate. And then, I just want to read you this again, the cabin will be prepped with calming aids such as pheromones, music, warm lavender-scented refreshment towels, and other comforts to help each dog feel settled. A concierge will also have a just-in-case bag filled with calming treats, leashes, poop bags, and more. Once on board, dogs will be served their beverage of choice, which is water or bone broth. Isn't that brilliant? So
it's a joke. It's like that is, it's awesome and they deserve all of it, but it's so funny that we're at this place in time and reality that we're doing these things. How cool.
But listen, yeah, I mean, I think this is it's part of the bigger trend that we've spoken about before and that you've just kind of mentioned at the front here, which is that dogs and animals just become part of how we see life. Like they become our kids, right? And I think they're actually seeing more and more that people are opting for for pets as kids rather than actually having kids. And I don't know if I read this right somewhere or I heard this somewhere, that there's actually at some point we were very worried about the boom of population and warning like at what point might we reach a saturation point in terms of people on Earth. And now that's kind of reversed. In some parts on Earth, it's still trending upwards. But as is, I think overall, they're actually saying that there's a depopulation happening. Have you seen that?
In Germany, Italy, and Japan are the ones that are shrinking the quickest. Africa and India are the ones that are growing the most.
Makes sense.
And everybody else is on somewhere on a downward spiral. Maybe South America is also up there. I think it's quite cultural around sexuality and family structures. And if you think about the Indian structure, the African culture, and even some of the South American ones, your child is brought up inside a village. Like there's aunties and uncles and cousins and grannies. And when you go into these sort of European countries and American countries, you're very secular. You're like you're in by yourself. You're like cocooned. Like you don't have all these people around. You have all these neighborhoods that people are far away. And so I think culturally and structurally, it's like set up like that. And yes, there is a negative
It's just interesting.
Population.
Yeah,
I think there's
growth.
That's right. Yeah.
Cool. That was mine, Bark Air.
I love yours. I think yours has been the best one. And I've done like, I'm going to do 20 and that's the best one by far. Okay, I got another one. And this was a really cool one. And we've heard so much about the extinction of sort of rhinos and that sort of thing and elephants. But in Kenya, the black rhino population, which was really kind of going to go extinct, has now rebounded and is actually at 1,000 and growing. So the black rhinos in Kenya are at 1,000 and growing. And that's awesome because just, you know, a few years ago, a couple decades ago, they were on the brink of extinction. And the African elephant numbers are higher than they've been in many, many years. The latest numbers of counting are close to 300,000 African elephants are now on the continent and growing again.
Is it just conservation efforts or like anti-poaching efforts? Did they say why we're seeing this increase? Okay.
Yeah, I think all of it. I think also technology with drones that are able to look out for these types of people. And I think they've just gotten better and better and better at managing it. And also, I think the world really got on behind these missions. I remember I used to play squash for like 20 hours because we were raising money to save the seals that were being clubbed or I don't know, whatever it was at high school, whatever carte blanche showed us on a Sunday. For the rest of the 3 weeks, we'd do fundraisers for that thing and then play some dumb sport for far too long. And squash is not dumb, but yeah. Anyway, you know
what I know what you mean.
Okay, one more. Scientists, this is an amazing one. Scientists have discovered 100 new species of fish that have been living 14,000 feet below the water in the mountains of Chile. Hang on a second.
That's insane.
You found 100 new species? What? Not one? 100 new species. That means they've never been to the bottom of those mountains. There's like a whole world down there. I think they're going to find mermaids soon. I mean, surely Nemo. They're going to find Nemo down there as well somewhere. I'm sure real soon.
Listen, but I mean, can I just quickly stop you there? Like the that ecosystem under the water is just something next level. Whenever I watch any documentary about what's happening, like the creatures that you have living under the ocean, it's as alien as it gets. Hey, like it's like they have superpowers. That's like I always walk away thinking fish have superpowers. Like a seahorse is able to change its gender. Like doesn't go for surgery, just does it, right? I saw something about eels the other day. And the amount of current that they're able to generate, like they have electricity they can generate through cells in their bodies that I think it could take down an elephant. It was something like, something stupid like that.
Wow.
And I listen to this and I'm like, these things are, they have superpowers. They are literally like mutants.
Look, according to the Earth Species Project, we'll be speaking to them by the end of the year so we can ask them.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I mean, so like well, the language has been deciphered as
things,
we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a great one. It's like, let's do a pod on things we've learned from speaking to animals over the last 6 months. I mean, that would be a mind-bending podcast.
Well, we could just have a fish on the podcast.
Oh, you're right. Hello, expansive listeners. Here's Mr. Dolphin. Hello, Mr. Dolphin. Oh, my God. This podcast is going only left field. I got two more to go. Do you have one more, Eric?
No, I'm out.
You did one, Eric. You did one. You did Bark Airlines.
I also did the nice framing for today's talk.
You're right. And also Bark wins. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. It's not quantity over... I mean, it's a quality over quantity. You've won this one. I got two more and then we're done. Spanish company has created the world's first wind turbine solar panels. I think this was awesome. And I can't believe they haven't done this before. Just think about it. The turbines are made of solar panels. I mean, the what do you call it? The chopper. What's it?
Sounds
the
so obvious. Blades. Yeah, yeah.
The blades. Mm. Nah, it's like so obvious. Like what? Why didn't you have them as solar power?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So if the wind is not blowing, you've got solar. And if you've got wind, then the solar and the wind is happening. Anyway. That shows us our technology is evolving. When we think we knew it all, now it's improving. And then lastly, they really are getting serious because the EU now has launched a satellite to start to dedicate it to tracking methane emissions. That's all it's there to do. So what they're doing is they're now going to start measuring from the space to see who's the biggest pollutants and start to find them. I thought that was really smart because people who've been lying about their methane emissions now can get caught up, you know? So I think overall, I was really impressed with this this research around just people are putting a lot of effort into nature, a lot. There's a lot going on and we just never hear it enough. And I thought it would be nice to share on the pod and, you know, hopefully whoever's listening to this, why don't you share it with other people that you meet as well so you can have sort of a ripple effect of these sort of like improvements that are happening around the world. Because there are a lot of good things besides the wars that are happening, unfortunately.
Yeah. Dude, I think we could just get so caught up in our cocoons, you know, and we curate our days and our consumption to the T. Like, I mean, I listen to the same podcasts more or less over and over, and they mainly focused on the same topics, which is leadership and change and artificial intelligence. And so your exposure to things that are happening outside of, you know, happening on the periphery of what you know is like there's so much good stuff happening, but you aren't exposed to it. So I think it's also good to have some, you know, for us to also bring in some things that we don't often speak about on the pod, because these are all very different to what we've spoken about before.
Yes.
We've only mentioned artificial intelligence once, and it was just me doing it now. So that's
twice.
That's very different to twice. I've said it twice. Yes.
Yeah, very different to our normal pods.
Listen, this was great. I really enjoyed it. Any sort of closing words from your side before we jump off?
The most important thing that we can do is manage our focus. And if we are able to focus our energy onto these sort of stories, and when you are feeling a little bit low, or a little bit down, what can you tap into to just shift that focus? And once you start to shift that focus, it starts to really ripple effect everywhere. And if you're struggling to shift your focus, you got to ask yourself, am I addicted to not feeling good? Am I addicted to not, you know, feeling a little bit down? And really have to break that and challenge yourself. And, you know, I fall into it this weekend again. Like I said, you know, there's been a storm going on inside my own head. And I was cycling and I was like, you know what? I don't want to feel like this. You know, what is it that I'm going to tap into? And I immediately started to look for those lectures. I listened to Dr. Joe's stuff again, just something just to shift that focus. So remember that your most powerful thing that you have is the power of your focus. And that's why today's pod is about optimism and looking at things that are cool.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's great. And that's the pod. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we love having you along on this journey. Please make sure to check out the pod on YouTube. We are trying to get more and more of you over there because we record this via video. So I think it's also more entertaining to just watch it along with us. So you can catch us on YouTube. But if you prefer to listen to us in the car or while you're walking or jogging or doing the dishes or anything else, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you as always, and see you again next week.